It is January 20th, 2021, and this is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops, and this is going to be a fun segment. It is my Q&A with the members of Barack Lesnar Hoops Fantasy Basketball. It is the best fantasy basketball community on Facebook, by far the most active, and just full of people just like you. If you're new to Barack Lesnar Hoops, welcome. And if you're not new and you've been here for a while, thank you for watching and engaging with my content. If you enjoy this content, please do me a favor and smash that like button for the YouTube algorithm. Again, smash that like button for the YouTube algorithm. Just trying to imprint that into your mind. And if you're new to this content and not subscribed, please go ahead and subscribe. We've been growing quickly, and that's just a result of my consistency in giving you this information. And it's been very helpful. And my goal is to continue to do just that. Whether you're new, whether you've been here forever, is to provide you an alternate opinion on the fantasy basketball community that helps you win your fantasy basketball leagues. That's it. That's the nitty gritty of what we're doing here. And also to have some fun. We like to have some fun. And one way that you can have some fun is to join the Facebook group and join the live Q&A. It's not live, but you can join the Q&A in real time. Ask a question and I'll try to answer it when I do these videos. So it's just one way to reach me and get your questions answered. And the first question is here from Neil Patel, and he says, "Hey Barack Lesnar, how and why did you get started with fantasy basketball YouTube content, and what do you do other than YouTube?" Why did I get started? Well, I wanted to get started years ago. I'd say 2015. At that point, I had been a diamond tier caliber player for about 5 years, and just the concepts started to really make sense. The concepts that I share with you now just really started to seep into my mind. At that point, I had figured out what I didn't want to do, what I did want to do. Something that I avoided was I started not focusing on scores. Unless there were certain builds I was going for. But for the most part, I really started honing in on those specialist that could get me steals, could get me blocks, could get me threes, and they're a lot more abundant now than they were back then. Those guys used to really stick out back then. Now the way fantasy basketball and basketball in general has gone, every team has a guy or two like that. So the game has evolved a lot, but I still double down on those categories. It's why I don't like somebody like Westbrook, for example, that hurts my percentages. Of course, outside of a point format, I'm referring to Roto and category league specifically. But I wanted to do YouTube content when I just felt I'm giving valuable information. I do suffer from imposter syndrome, where sometimes I ask myself, like, who am I for people to listen to me? But I feel like I had the results speaking for themselves. What made me finally decide to do it was competing in money leagues, which was a barrier I had when I was younger. I just didn't have funds like that. But thankfully, you know, working hard and excelling in my career did open up some disposable income, which I then invested to bet on myself in these money leagues. That's really what you're doing. You're betting on yourself, on your knowledge, on your analysis, in competing with 12 to however many people are in your league. And I did that year and just was very successful. I won a ton of money. The investment I made was small, and I saw that return, and that to me was validation. Like, yes, you have information you can share. And I remember specifically one guy reaching out to me. He ended up winning that league. I came in second, but a few months before that, sending me a message congratulating me and saying he loves how I play fantasy basketball and that he sees what I'm doing. And it was just very validating because he was a very good player himself. So at that point, I realized, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to share this content because I saw a need. I myself personally enjoyed fantasy basketball content and felt there was a short supply of it outside of certain websites. And then I also noticed that some of the best information I was getting were in message boards, like the Roto World message boards, the Real GM fantasy basketball message boards, just a few message boards that I would be a part of, where not only was I helping others, but others were helping me. And I realized, like, wow, these guys give much better advice than the so-called experts. So I thought to myself, why can't I be one of those people sharing my expertise and my advice? and I just started to question the authority of anyone that claims they're an authority in fantasy basketball. I started questioning their advice more. I started questioning their analysis, and I started gaining more confidence in my own. So I didn't just out of the blue willy-nilly decided this is what I wanted to do. So yeah. And the next question is from Joao Correa. Is a downgrade in terms of overall rankings worth it for a better stat product for the team, or should we be patient and try to trade only for the right value rankings wise? It's always going to come down to your belief in that player's upside. It's going to come down exactly what it is that you need, and it's going to come down to, if you had to trade that asset, which asset do you think it's more valuable? I think sometimes we focus so much on just how they fit our build that we forget sometimes these players also have value as far as trade value. So I'd say if your team is hurting because it's not a good fit, you can sacrifice some value as far as a trade asset to get a player that better fits what you have. So maybe you have an abundance of small forwards that can score, but you're very thin on big men. I've been looking at this myself. I've been considering trading Jimmy Butler for Clint Capella just because I'm lacking centers. Jimmy Butler's been missing. And not only has Jimmy Butler been missing, but I have an abundance of players at that same position that do similar things for me while I don't have that in the center position. So I'm strongly considering, despite the difference in value and the fact that Jimmy Butler is a better trade asset overall, it kind of answers your question in that I am willing. I haven't done it yet because it is a difficult move to make, but if you're in desperate need of a fit, sometimes it's just what you have to do. What is my opinion from Odysseus? What's your opinion on John Collins? Is he getting traded? Do you foresee anything positive about him? I think John Collins is undervalued right now. I think we're going to see him do better. We've seen him do consistently well since his rookie year. Maybe they're going through a rough patch right now, but overall, I think he's going to be good. And if he does end up getting traded, he could be even better. I'd say he's a buy low right now just because people are so down on him. I do foresee positives. He's a guy that can hit threes. He's a guy that can get blocks. He's a guy that can score. He's a guy that can get rebounds, and he can do it efficiently. We've seen him do that. Has his value been there? Not at the rate, not at the ADP we were picking him at, but do I see anything positive? Yeah, I do. I see a lot of upside for him. And with his value so low, I would probably bank on him doing better than he's doing now. And from Nicholas Mayer, favorite NBA team and why? Who's your current favorite NBA player? So I would say my favorite NBA team, well, I won't say it is my favorite NBA team, is the Milwaukee Bucks. Why is the Milwaukee Bucks my favorite team? Well, I grew up in New York City, and I hated the Knicks. Just not a fan of the Knicks. Was never a fan of the Knicks, even when I lived there. One of my first arguments in school was the fact that I thought the Chicago Bulls were better than the New York Knicks, which I feel like history has validated me 100%. These kids swore the Knicks were better. They were Knicks diehards. I was not. But I ended up moving to Milwaukee later in life, and almost when I was a teenager, and the Bucks were really good. They had Ray Allen, they had Glenn Robinson, they had Sam Cassell. The arena was like 10 minutes from my house, and they went to that run to the Eastern Conference Finals. So for a young kid, it was like, wow, I finally like the local basketball team. Little did I know everything would collapse a year or two later and we'd be terrible, but I never jumped ship. I still love the Milwaukee Bucks. They're still my team. I've been a fan of theirs through the Michael Redd years, through the TJ Ford years, through the Andrew Bogut years, through the Brandon Jennings years, through Bucks in six, through Larry Sanders quitting the league after we paid him as a promising young big for us. I was there for Jabari Parker. I've just been a fan ever since I moved to Milwaukee in the early 2000s. My favorite NBA player right now, that's a tougher question because I have just so many, especially playing fantasy basketball. You grow fond of players for their ability to help your team. It used to be LeBron James, but then he went to the Lakers, who are one of my least favorite teams as well. And I spent so much time defending his honor against mostly Lakers fans that it just felt like a slap in the face to me that he would go to the Lakers. I don't care that he left Cleveland, but just going to the Lakers. And the funny thing is, I found a post I made almost a decade ago where I said I'd be a fan of LeBron on any team as long as he didn't go to the Lakers, and he did. So I'm going to be a man of my word. I still respect his role in NBA history, and he is an amazing player. But I'd say my player right now is probably Giannis Antetokounmpo. I love Drew Holiday even before he came to my Bucks. Now he's on my Bucks, so I love him more. I love Chris Paul. Chris Paul is one of my favorite players of all time. And even at his advanced age for an NBA player, he's still one of the best players to do it. And in his prime, he was just unlike anything I've ever seen. His IQ was just off the charts. He's like the perfect point guard to me. The only thing that held him back slightly was his size. Had he been 6'6", 6'7", he'd probably be competing for greatest of all time. Controversial opinion, I know. But I love Karl Anthony Towns. He's the best Dominican American product there is. And me being Dominican American, I can definitely support him because he's a great player. He gets a lot of bashed a lot for his defense and for not being a winner. But honestly, he's one of the best big centers we've ever seen come into the league. Just great immediately and one of the top fantasy basketball players. So that definitely makes him one of my favorite players. From Michael Lavery. In a dynasty league, what player can you acquire cheap now but may have huge value in the future years? Somebody I'd say is Mikal Bridges. He seems to improve every single season. And if he ever becomes a scorer, I'm not saying he's going to become Kawhi Leonard, but we kind of saw something similar with Kawhi Leonard where he wasn't a scorer. He was mostly a defensive guy, and we saw him start hitting threes, and we saw him start hitting steals and blocks, and we saw his percentages steadily improve. And then he just became that superstar stud player. I think Mikal Bridges has superstar potential. He's probably not going to be super cheap, but I think he's as cheap as you're going to get him over the just upside that he has. I think he has superstar potential. That may be one. Somebody else is Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges is very inconsistent right now, but I really do think he also has all-star potential. Maybe not superstar potential, but I think he has all-star potential. Who else? PJ Washington on that same team is still a young player, and he's been pretty dynamic. That's somebody else that I would strongly consider. And there's a few rookies right now that their value is super cheap. Like Killian Hayes, just he's had a rough season. He's injured. But if you have a dynasty league with lots of keepers, you may want to take a shot at him. He was drafted really highly, and you never know. He could come back and have value, and his value is pretty much non-existent right now. Those are some ones that I would target in dynasty formats. Another one is Dante DiVincenzo. Still a very young player, and it looks like he has a secure role. And the Bucks aren't going to have much flexibility to sign many players or even trade around too many players. So Dante DiVincenzo, someone who's going to have playing time and an opportunity to develop and prove himself on a contending team. From Dex Chua, Curry and Keldon for Jamal Murray, Grant and Bertans, and also will Kelly Oubre be good this season? Curry and Keldon for Jamal Murray, Grant and Bertans. I think I would have to go with Curry and Keldon just because you're getting Steph Curry. You're getting the best player in that deal, and Keldon has been pretty good himself. Bertans hasn't even been playing. So I think in that situation, to be able to get Steph Curry is worth giving up a Jeremy Grant, who's been doing absolutely amazing. But is it sustainable? I don't know. He's burning real red hot right now, while we know that Curry has you know, top 2-3 fantasy basketball potential and has for years. Will Kelly Oubre be good this season? He's already been better. So as the time of this posting, it was 2 days ago, but he has been a better player already. Kelly Oubre, I think, I'm not going to say the sky's the limit, but he definitely has a bigger limit, and he hasn't hit it yet. So I like his upside for sure. From Jamel Solatorio, which with postponed games and players with COVID, what do you recommend to league commissioners on changes to the lineup, additional IR slot or additional bench slot? Honestly, based on what I'm seeing, I think you need to have deeper bench spots, and you also need to have at least 3 IRs. Anything less than 3 is not even fair. Default IR on Yahoo is like 2, and that's in a regular season. With games being canceled left and right, you're really leaving teams hanging dry because they're losing games just because they happen to have multiple players on teams that had postponed games. Like, if you had Suns and Wizards last week, chances are you lost because all those players had a ton of postponed games. And if your team didn't have a lot of postponed games, then you probably, it was smooth sailing for you. Those IR spots are normally for injured players. But with contact tracing and COVID now, it's just two is not enough. And it's frustrating in leagues where there's only two. I feel like people are not thinking ahead and treating everything like a normal year. And this is not a normal year. And you're really adding too much luck as a factor. I don't want my league to come down to who was lucky enough to avoid the most contact tracing instances or avoid the most postponed games. Now, with postponed games, the players will be better the second half of the season. But there's a lot of players who are being forced to have to drop players just because they're not playing to try to survive. And it's frustrating, especially with it being a shortened season. Some concessions have to be made if you're a GM and or a commissioner to a league. And I definitely suggest adding at least three IR slots and stop being stingy. It is what it is. From John Yu, Matt Zhang. Thoughts on picking up Nurkic to stash in IR playoffs for us start in April. Also, what about Al Horford? He was dropped. Pick up 12 team, 9 categories. As always, it depends on who your drops are. If you have anyone in your IR, I would definitely pick up Nurkic in the 12 team if he's in the IR, if I have an open IR. He's somebody that's worth waiting for because now his value, I mean, somebody dropped him, so his value was zero to you. You dropped your worst player. You throw him in the IR. If he comes back and produces even at a top 50, 70 level, you're getting tremendous value off of an asset you got for nothing. So you have to capitalize on those little risk, high reward situations. Now you may come across a situation where your team gets hit with a bunch of COVID injuries or regular injuries and you can't spare the IR. But honestly, he's worth holding on to as long as you're possibly able to without tanking your chances at making the playoffs. And from Odysseus again, thoughts on picking up Satoransky for those assists. I don't know. I'm not very high on Satoransky this season. The playing time hasn't been there, and they already have two very heavy usage guys in Kobe White and Zach LaVine. And he also has Ryan playing point guard off the bench to compete with. So outside of a very deep format where you're just desperate for a guy that could get you some assists and steals, and even then, there's probably better options like TJ McConnell. So I'm not very high on Tomas Satoransky right now. Batum or Hero in 9 category leagues. Hero definitely has the upside. Batum has been better so far. So really, it depends what you need, Edmund. It depends on if you want Hero's potential to score for you, or it depends if you just want the all-around production you get from Nicholas Batum. I'd say Batum probably has a higher floor while Hero has the higher upside. So it's based on how much risk. If you want to take less risk, I'd take Nicholas Batum. But if you want to bank on upside, then I would take Hero. From Gabriel Farias. Hey, Barack, I'm in a 12-team, 9 category league and my field goal percentage is trash. So I'm punching it starting now. Assists, blocks, steals, and free throws are top 2 overall. And the other 4 categories are 5th or 6th. How would you improve rebounds, threes, and points, at least 2 of them, without getting too much worse on my top 2 cats? So you have Trey Young, Halliburton, Brogdon, Smart, Burks, DeRozan, Tobias Harris, Mikal Bridges, Kawhi Leonard, Jaren Jackson Jr., Larry Nance, Brooke Lopez, and Boucher. Well, immediately what sticks out to me is you say you want to improve in rebounds, threes, and points, at least 2 of them. So something that sticks out to me is DeMar DeRozan. You could get somebody that's better at threes and somebody better at rebounding than DeMar DeRozan. You would take a slight hit to assist, but from what I'm seeing here, you have Trey Young, you have Halliburton, you have Brogdon, you have Smart. You have a couple of guys who are able to get out of position assists, such as Larry Nance, and even Tobias Harris gets you some assists. Now, I think DeMar DeRozan becomes the guy that you can trade if you want to get more if you want to get more three-pointers and you want to get more rebounding. You could probably trade him for a decent big man. Somebody who would get you rebounding, for example, it would be, threes and rebounding. Maybe Miles, well, Miles Turner's not a rebounder. So threes and rebounding is a little more difficult. So if you wanted to take a risk, for example, you could try to package and make a trade for Kristaps Porzingis, who's going to help you both with the rebounding and with the three-pointers made while also helping your blocks. I wouldn't do a straight swap. I'd probably try to make a package deal. Who else would I add in that package? Let's see. You're trying to help your threes, points, and rebounding. I mean, even Jaren Jackson Jr. coming back is going to help you tremendously in that area. Honestly, this is a really strong team with what you're trying to do, especially based on what you're projecting, because you're telling me you're fifth or sixth in the four other categories while being top two in assists, blocks, steals, and free throw percentage. So you already have a really strong team. And DeMar DeRozan, honestly, is not a bad piece for that team despite the lack of threes. But if you felt you needed to make a change, I think DeMar DeRozan is probably going to be your best option. I don't want to say DeAndre Ayton, because then you're going to impact your rebounding, and Brook Lopez helps your threes and your blocks significantly. But I guess he becomes another option too if what you want is rebounding and points. So Brook Lopez becomes somebody you could consider trading. Now, keep in mind, the issue with Brook Lopez is he tends to be better than the value, than how people evaluate him. So I honestly think you could stand pat. All right, now we got a couple of questions from Sydney. Coach B. Bundridge, an OG of following this content, has been following since day one, and he is a diamond tier player. So he's a beast at what he does, and he follows this content. Very validating to me that a guy like that wants to listen to my advice. So he wants to know, what do you think about vetoes? And we had a back and forth about this, since he is a buddy of mine. And our back and forth, I let him know that vetoes, I rarely do them, but there's some situations where some trades just don't make sense. Like if you're offering a top 10 asset and you're asking for two guys maybe that are in like the 90 to 120 range, and just sometimes, you know, there's just a trade, there's no way this person really thinks this trade is going to help them. It's hard because sometimes, and he argues, people evaluate players in different ways. So, and you never know what their needs are, or what their roster are. My argument is sometimes you can just tell, like if this guy's performing top 10 production and you're getting two guys that got picked up off the waiver wire, chances are if you were just a little more diligent and patient, you could get better versions of those players that have more long-term value, that have more established value, because valuations can change quickly. So I think in this situation, it was like Zach LaVine traded for LaMarcus Aldridge and Kyle Anderson. And I argued that I think that's a vetoable trade for the simple fact that I don't get the reasoning as to why somebody would give up Zach LaVine for that cheap when he's averaging almost 30 points per game. The counter argument was you should only stop or veto a trade if you have evidence of collusion. But how do you really prove collusion was my counter argument to that. Really, the only thing you could base a collusion claim on is the trade itself. Trying to assess, do you really think this is fair market value for the player that was being given up? Because unless you catch them in the act, with most of us playing remotely, how do you catch somebody cheating? It's almost impossible when it can be done one-on-one. So I try not to veto. I'd say 98% of cases, you don't veto. You don't veto because you think a guy is losing a trade. You don't veto because you're upset that the top guy is getting some players that fit his team and you're worried it's going to make him better. That's not what you veto for. But in trades that just seem super lopsided, where they don't make sense, where it's hard to really in your head gauge what their reasoning was for making that trade, because there's just such a difference in valuation, both, you know, during the draft and currently during the season, it's just in those situations I would promote a veto. But people who are vetoing just because you don't want a guy to get stronger, even though he's giving up fair value, those situations are definitely not worth a veto. He also asked, any tips on FAAB? So that's bidding for free agents that are on the wire at all times. I hate that format, but I'm going to give the same advice I would give in auction leagues. If you only have $100 and you blow through your $100 in the first few weeks, you're going to be at the mercy of the people with the money later on this season. I normally don't bid more. If it's a guy I think I can help my team, but I don't value super highly, I normally bid $3 to $5. If it's a guy I think shouldn't be on the waiver wire, that's maybe when I'm giving $15 or $20 because I want them on my team because I feel they help my team and they'll be there for the long haul. So like there's a backup on the bench and their starter got injured for the rest of the year and now all of a sudden they're going to get 38 minutes per game, then I may put in, you know, $15 on a bid. But overall, towards the end of the year is when those pickups become more most important, and you don't want to be cash strapped because you used all your funds early on in the season. So that's my biggest tip, is try to be reasonable in how you're evaluating these players and don't just get used to dropping $20 on every guy you want, because then when they lose value, you are really, you're making it hard for yourself later on in the year. So it's an investment strategy you have to consider later on. The other guys outbidding you by offering $25 for these free, they're going to cash strap themselves sooner rather than later. We're only 2 weeks into the season. If you're going to go towards the end of the year with like $10 in free agency dollars, you're going to be at a huge disadvantage as opposed to holding on to those funds. And when people are cash strapped, you're going to be able to bid $5, $10 or whatever you want, because you're towards the end of the year, you have the available money, and there's still going to be some pickups, especially with funny season where suddenly guys are resting and no name players are getting playing time. You're going to have complete control of the waiver wire along with whoever did not cash strap themselves. So I'd say let player, even if you really like a player, you have to have, you don't want to overpay. That is my opinion. And you just want to be consistent. You want to be consistent and grab guys before they blow up. You have to make your analysis and calculate what you think these guys are worth. Like Shake Milton, last week you could have picked him up Monday, but if you picked him up Wednesday, then you were competing with everyone who saw him blow up. So you want to get to these guys before they have that blow up game while their value is low. That's the other way where you can get guys that help you out for only a dollar or two. You have to do it before there's a blow up. All right, then we have a first few. He wants me to rate his draft. So in this draft, got Kevin Durant, LeBron James at 16, DeAndre Ayton at 33. Great value there. Brandon Ingram at 40, Drew Holiday at 57, Jeremy Grant at 64. That one ended up being great. Seth Curry at 81. Maybe a reach there, honestly speaking. Terry Rozier at 88. Not bad at 88. Mason Plumlee at 105. Based on he's producing, not bad either. DeAndre Hunter at 112. Bobby Portis at 129. Enes Kanter 136. Alec Burks at 153 once he's back. Yeah, that's good. If this draft happened before the season started, great job drafting. This seems like it's a newer draft just based on some of the valuations I'm seeing. So if you knew to grab Mason Plumlee at 105 and Terry Rozier at 88 and Seth Curry at 81 before the season started, then this is some amazing drafting, a lot of foresight, and my boy here should start his own channel, because even Enes Kanter at 12, he didn't have much value going into the season. So definitely a great team, even greater team if you managed to draft it before the season started. But even if after the season started, you got good value on all these guys. All right, then Odysseus wants me to know what I think of his team, and he has Devin Booker, Tyler Hero, Lonnie Walker, Anthony Davis, Enes Kanter, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, John Collins, Tomas Satoransky, in a utility slot for some reason. Then Donovan Mitchell, Colin Sexton, Tyrese Halliburton, Jamal Murray, Shake Milton, Kevin Love, Evan Fournier. I mean, outside of the Tomas Satoransky pick, that's a really strong team you have right there. I'm not sure why you have Tomas Satoransky. Kevin Love on the IR, I guess. I just don't see him being able to do much, especially now that they have Andre Drummond, they have Jared Allen and Larry Nance. I think they're trying to get rid of Kevin Love. I don't see Kevin Love getting much playing time on this team. And even when he does, he's so brittle. I mean, he's already out for the season. I mean, not for the season, but he hasn't played at all this season. And there's barely been any basketball. So he's very brittle. And I'm personally, even if he's on the waiver wire, there's probably other people I'm going to want. All right. And then we only have a few more. From Hassan Al-Baghdadi, rate my team. By the way, I like blocks. Any advice? So this is Luka Doncic, DeJounte Murray, Keldon Johnson, Bojan Bogdanovic, Kelly Olynyk, Dennis Schroeder, Robert Covington, De'Aaron Fox, Mike Conley, Andre Drummond, Paul George, Darius Garland, Shake Milton, Patrick Beverley, and another Kevin Love owner. If you want blocks, then I'd say your tradable players are Mike Conley, Dennis Schroeder. I'd say those are your biggest assets that you can trade, and maybe even Bojan Bogdanovic, because none of them are guys that are going to get you blocks. They have some trade value, and you may be able to package them together for a guy that does get you blocks. Maybe you're able to get, looking to getting like Brook Lopez, for example, if you were to offer Dennis Schroeder for him. That's something that would help you with blocks immediately. That's just one idea. All right, and we're almost through. Who could I get for LaMarcus Aldridge in an ESPN points league? You're not going to get much for him right now. His value is really low just because he has been underperforming a bit. So I would hold on, because I think you're going to have to let him play himself into more value. Otherwise, you're going to sell him lower than you should. He does have the upside to improve, but you're just not going to get much in a trade unless you target someone who's absolutely desperate for a big man and somehow just thinks that LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be way better than he has been. Otherwise, I would hold on to him and wait till his value increases. And our last question from Romulo Fiesta, potential trade targets with Haliburton Cousins package. Haliburton's had a few rough games, so you might want to wait for him to do better. His trade value was really high last week, but Cousins doesn't have much trade value. And Haliburton right now, I would just hold on to him and let him play a couple of strong games before I consider trading him. But there's some people that are, I would target by low targets. Jimmy Butler's missing a ton of time right now, and people are growing impatient. I would target some players on the Wizards. People are growing impatient with Wizards players because it seems they're never playing. Not saying you're going to get any of these guys, but you may want to give it some consideration. Maybe the Russell Westbrook owner's out of patience and you can get Russell Westbrook for Tyrese Haliburton. I would target guys that have really low value right now. Like right above, if you think LaMarcus Aldridge has potential as a big man, you could probably get him for Tyrese Haliburton. Hopefully that answers your questions. But all right, guys, that is all the questions I received. If you want to ask your own questions, again, join Barack Lesnar Hoops Fantasy Basketball and go ahead and I'm going to make posts, and you're able to ask your questions and I will answer them, and you get to see your question answered by me on my channel. And if you become a member of Barack Lesnar Hoops, I'm going to be giving you guys first priority to ask questions. You get members only community posts that you have to be a Barack Lesnar Hoops member to have access to. And you're going to get first priority on things like rate my team. You're going to get first priority on questions. And when it comes to chats, you're going to get first priority to having your questions answered, because you're financially supporting the work I'm doing here at Barack Lesnar Hoops. And that comes with some perks. If you're not a member and just a regular subscriber or even regular viewer, no worries whatsoever. You're still going to get great content consistently. There's just a few cherries on top for the people who take that extra step to really help this vision and dream of mine. Please like and subscribe, and you can watch one of these videos above if you want more fantasy basketball content courtesy of me, Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops. Until next time, hope you enjoyed this. Have a great day.